This morning's message, God's called us to be faithful. And we have to understand that God has a purpose when He calls mankind. And He has a reason for calling. Sometimes that's not an easy reason or easy thing to do. So what He does, He empowers us to be able to carry out those commandments. If we follow Him closely, His prophets, His apostles, His teachings, if we just dwell in the church until we be endued with power from on high, He'll tell us what it is He has for us to do. He'll empower us to be able to carry out that command. We see His prophets in days of old worked a little bit differently from the way we work in this day and time. And I told you, prophet in that dispensation was a little bit different from it is today, because today we have a more sure word of prophecy, and that's the complete word of God. In the time of Ezekiel, in the captivity of the children of Israel, God would appear to man. It had God's writings, some of God's writings, but the scripture wasn't complete, and He didn't give them a heart to understand and a heart to know Him. So a lot of them that worked off the same thing that we have to today is that trusting and relying on God. And Ezekiel was a priest, and he was of the priestly caste, and that's what he was studying, to be a priest. But God called him to be a prophet, though. So the priestly vocation opened up into a different vocation, just as with us today. We carry on with what we're doing or what we know, and we come into the church and learn of God. Now, if God changes that vocation, He's already prepared and laid the groundwork for what we should be, because He had chosen us from the foundations of the world. So he's already making man in His image and likeness, and through His sovereignty, everything that goes into your preparation into you even before conversion, before you receive the call of God, God has had His hand in doing that. For whom He foreknew, He foreordained. And we see in the book of Ezekiel, the second chapter, the first through the tenth verse, that he had received a vision in the first chapter. And he got a look at God. He got a look at his power, at His majesty. He got a look at the omnificence of God. When we look at that vision, and we didn't go over that in that chapter, but he was so awed and bespectacled by that was stuck in his mind, and that became his focus. And we'll see when the prophets or anyone receive a direct revelation of a direct vision from God, a direct looking unto God, that it changed their lives. It'll change your life today. It'll change your life when you hear from God, when you actually come into the knowledge and understanding of Him. It'll completely change your life. And as he was speaking to Ezekiel, it knocked him to the ground in humility, in reverence. He was on the ground as if dead. You know, a lot of people, you read in the Bible, they say they fell before God as if dead. It's not like the people of today who seems as though they stand and have a conversation with God, and that they're so on the same level with God that they don't show this humility. This was true in that time. But see, today, the misleading of the people or the worldlings of the people, they say the man above, the man upstairs, they talk with God, about God, as if there's no reverence for Him at all, and that they're on equal planes and equal levels. But this knocked everything out of Ezekiel, and he was lying prostrate. And God said unto me, Son of man, stand up on thine feet, and I will speak unto thee. So we notice that he called him Son of Man. Son of Man. And as he addressed him as Son of Man, it showed his frailty, his identification with the body of Adam, with the identification of who we are. It's used some 100 times in the book of Ezekiel, that phrase, son of man. See, because in all his weakness, that prostrate straight before God, and God told him to stand up. In all this weak and flawed and frail man, God was going to send him to do a job for him. That's why Jesus used that same phraseology in the New Testament. We'll see he used it some 80 times in reference to himself as the Son of Man. It says, when you see the Son of Man lifted up, when you see the Son of Man, and he called himself, in reference to his humanity, he called himself the Son of Man. Remember, we're but flesh, and we have flaws. We have faults and failures, and we're to be mindful of these things. And I was talking with a gentleman the other day, and he was trying to show me where I was in violation of the law or whatever. And I was telling him, I understand that I do violate the law, and that I'm not perfect. And you see, it'd be those in the world that's going to come to you, and those especially that supposedly know something about God. Those are the most obstinate. Those are the most ones that we're going to have our largest problem with. And they go try to get you to where you, like some of the Christians today, thinking that you're above everybody else and that you're above sin. We said, any man that had not sinned, he makes God a liar. So in all our frailty, yes, I do things wrong, and I'm not saying that I'm perfect in the law. I have faults and failures like the rest of y'all. And there's only one that didn't have that, but he even identified with the body of mankind and said, Son of Man. But that was the one who obeyed the word of God perfectly. He obeyed it perfectly. We see that the Spirit entered into him. That Spirit, when it says, stand up on your feet, and it says, and the Spirit entered into me when he spake unto me, and set me upon my feet, that I heard him that spake unto me. Now, that's one thing about God. I says he's in the process of making us. He made man upright. As he talked with Ezekiel, he made him upright. As he stopped Paul on the way to Damascus, on the Damascus road, he made Paul upright. He told him, if you look at the book of Acts in the 9th chapter, while you're going there, he also told Daniel that in the 7th chapter, in the 8th and 9th chapter of Daniel, that he should stand up because Daniel was praying to God, and an angel came and told him to stand up on his feet. As God tells us to stand up and grow in him, that we would become what he wanted us. If you look at Saul on chapter 9 of the book of Acts, he says, Saul, yet breathing out threats and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest and desired letters to Damascus to the synagogues. And as he journeyed, he came near the Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven, and he fell to the earth, and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? There we go again, one that falls prostrate before God when God comes into their life, when the light of God comes unto you. He fell, and he, as he was down there, he said, Lord, who art thou? And if you look at verse 8, it says, verse 7, start there. And the men which journeyed with him stood speechless, hearing a voice, but seeing no man. They didn't hear the clarity of the call of God. You remember I told you there was a general call of God, and there was a fervent, effectual call of God? Well, if you look in the book of Acts, the chapter of 22, you'll see where these men said they heard the voice, but they didn't understand what it was saying. See, and God can separate you from those in the church. Sometimes you hear what God's saying. He separates those within families. He can speak to you and not speak to those around you. That's why you could come in the church and get a message from God, because God has a way of talking to you. But he was talking with Saul, and these people were in bewilderment because they didn't understand or know what was going on. And the voice said, it says, and Saul arose from the earth, and when his eyes were open, he saw no man, but they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus. And there was a certain man of disciples at Damascus named Ananias, and to him said the Lord, in a vision, Ananias, and he said, Behold, I am here, Lord. And the Lord said unto him, Arise, go into the street which is called Straight, and inquire in the house of Judah for one called Saul of Tarsus, for behold, he prayeth, and had seen in a vision a man named Ananias coming in and putting his hand on him that he might receive his sight. Then Ananias told the Lord what Saul had been doing and that he was fearful of Saul. But God wasn't hearing any of that. He wasn't going to have it. He says that he knew these things was going on. In verse 15 he says, But the Lord said unto him, Go thine way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles and the kings and the children of Israel. Regardless of what you are, even the guy I was talking to the other day, regardless of what he was saying or regardless of what was going on, I have a message to proclaim. See, it's known for a servant, one call of God to be faithful. And that's to proclaim the message God had given to me. Ananias being faithful to God, he had to go tell Paul or go visit Paul, and he was scared to go. But God says, go your way. I have chosen him. So he couldn't fear. He had to go out on and do what God says. He had to be faithful to his call. Because this was another call, a chosen vessel he was going to. And he said, For I will show him how greater things he have to suffer for my name. And Ananias went his way, and he entered into the house and put in his hands on him, saying, Brother Saul, the Lord, even Jesus, that appeared unto thee in the way as thou camest thou, has sent me that thou mightest receive thy sight and be filled with the Holy Ghost. And immediately there fell from his eyes that it has been scales, and he received his sight forthwith and arose and was baptized. And when he received meat, he was strengthened. Then Saul was certain days with the disciples, which was at Damascus, and straightway he preached Christ in the synagogues that he is the Son of God. He went about his task, what he had been ordained to. He went away preaching. And God had filled him with his word, but he had already prepared Saul before then as a Pharisee of Pharisees. He knew the word of God. He knew the word of God, but he empowered him by the Spirit coming up on him when a man touched him, a man from God. And I told you in this day and time, it works through man. Receiving the Spirit works through man. That's no more open visions and ordaining as in the Old Testament time. It's no burning bush experiences as Moses. God's going to send a man to preach the gospel to you. How can they hear unless they hear it from a preacher? You will hear God's word preached by God's messengers. That's the way he had ordained, he says, by faith. And hearing of their word, and those who have heard you, heard their word, hear their word, that's the way they're going to be blessed. And Jesus had set up this procedure that it would come through preaching. The foolishness of preaching is how he chose to save mankind. You have to have faith in that. That's how you hear the call of God. That's how all of us in this New Testament age hear that. And that Spirit come in you, that which empowers you to preach God's word. That's how you can preach God's word. When that Spirit came into Ezekiel, he stood up. That was his commission. That's what got him started on that way of telling the children of Israel what God had said. Now they was in the midst of the world, just as the church is in the midst of the world. And they're not going to want to hear what you have to tell them. But you need the Spirit in you to be able to do that. That's part of that sub point. He empowers us today by that same Spirit. He had promised us this by his word. In the book of Joel, he said, And afterwards I would pour out my Spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams, and your young men shall see visions. Even upon the men servants and upon the maid servants in those days will I pour out my Spirit. He's talking about in these latter days. It's not going to be through your power. It's not going to be through your frailty until you realize that you're a man and that you need an outside source. You need something other than you. You need to be empowered by God. That's why he said in the book of Zechariah, he says, not by power, not by might, it's but by my spirit. This is not going to be accomplished. And that's why a lot of people peter out in the church. They've been running in their own power. And a lot of them to this day, casting out devils, feeding the sick. You'll see them on the street corners. You'll see them having all kinds of things, doing things in Jesus' name. That's why they get weary. They get tired because they're doing it in their own strength and power. That's why they fall short a lot of times, because it's something they want to do. It's their intentions or whatever, but it's not of God. They're not powered by the Spirit of God. If you look under their hood, they have the same heart. They don't have a new heart. They hadn't been commissioned to do the work. That's why he says, I never knew you, because they wasn't called. It's only a few that are chosen. They wasn't the chosen vessel. You may need to make sure of your calling. What vocation had he placed you in to do what you're doing? Well, you get ahead of yourself. Peter got ahead of himself, and Satan was sifting him as wheat. Peter did a lot of things, and that's what I was trying to tell this guy the other day. He kept trying to attack me, and I was using the scriptures. I was telling him what the Word of God said. So as a roaring lion, you don't go around. If you have a roaring lion, how would I look defending a roaring lion? I just let the lion go. If you had a Rottweiler or pit bull in here, would you try to defend that dog, or would that dog defend itself? That's how the Word of God is. It'll defend itself. All you have to do is speak it. Let it go. You don't have to defend the Word of God. You don't have to. All you have to do is speak the Word. But see, you need power to be able to speak that Word and bring it to its fruition. And that's why he told his disciple, I will read in scripture today in the book of Luke, the 24th chapter and the 49th verse. What did he tell them to do? Look at that again. He says, and behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. This is what God had promised in Joel. This is the promise of the Father. He said, but wait though. Read that again. Will y'all look at that? It says, but tarry ye in Jerusalem. Jerusalem is a sign of the church. Jerusalem is as Zion. Jerusalem is a place, he said in the New Testament, you'll see the new Jerusalem coming down. Jerusalem is figurative for the church. It's figurative for, wait in the church, listen at the preaching, listen at the teaching, until you be endued from power on high. He says, go back and tarry in Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high. I'm going to send power back. But don't go out witnessing. Don't go out trying to preach or teach this thing. See, that's where he was falling short at. See, he was witnessing of himself. In other words, he knew some scripture. He knew a little of the Word. And he was trying to get away to, well, we have in church here with just you and I. I didn't want to entangle that for him. But it is wherever two or three are gathered together, he'll be the God in the midst of us. But see, the explanation of that, in other words, God was mediating that hearing. That's why he never came on top in none of his arguments. Because I was letting God be the God in the midst. I was speaking the Word of God. That's why he couldn't untangle that. It didn't say that's where the church was. He said, I'll be the God in the midst of it. But see, people that's Christian, those rebellious type, those that don't want to belong to a church, will say, we have in church right here. You don't need to be in the building. Look and see, didn't God, when he called them out, that's what ecclesia means, call out once to church. It's a body. That's why it says tarry in Jerusalem. We are the body of Christ. A lot of people don't want to organize body. See, that's why I say they're living in the world, and they're living in the time of Judges, where every man was doing that which was right in his own eyesight. They want to take their money and spend it on what they want to spend it on, and they try to knock down tithes and offerings and giving to the preacher or whatever. See, that's what happens when they don't want to belong to a unified body of believers. They could skip that step. That way they can spend their money on what they want to spend and say, well, I tithe, I help other people, and that's using my tithes toward godly things. That ain't how I say God. They brought their tithes and offerings and laid it at the apostles' feet. The apostles distributed. He says, bring all ye tithes into the storehouse. It didn't say it to your house. He says, into the storehouse. That's, God's in the midst of us all right enough. But don't try to use that scripture to say that there's no church and that you could just walk around there two or three people. That's what I was telling you that sister that came here was trying to say. Those guys street preaching or whatever, but they're not trying to be a part of the organized body of Christ. His spirit makes us willing. You'll notice that Ezekiel, this spirit made him willing. And it's a lot of us that don't do the work of God. See? And it was curious what that brother said earlier. He said, well, you go to church on Sunday? The spirit is what makes us willing. When you get a glimpse of God and know God, you won't go whoring around and committing adultery at other churches. You'll remain faithful to that one church. See, right now, the struggle is you got an idol in your life. And you don't want to lose that idol. You don't want to be against that heart. You don't want to. It's hard. And that spirit hadn't empowered you because you had fully relied on God. You will have to fully rely on Him or you're going to lose your blessing. And you're going to lose these things that God has for you for being rebellious against God. For being rebellious against Him. He says, the book of Psalms. The Lord said unto my Lord, sit thy my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool. The Lord shall send the rod of thine strength out of Zion, Jerusalem, out of the church. Rule thou in the midst of thine enemies. Thine people shall be willing in the day of thine power. That's when you will be willing, is when the Spirit hits you, as it hit Ezekiel, as it hit Paul. That's when you will be able to do the will of God. Until then, you will be afraid. You will be afraid of your wife. You will be afraid of your husband, afraid of your children, afraid of losing your job, afraid of other friends, afraid of everything else. See, but when the Spirit enters into you, He hadn't given you a spirit of fear. You don't have that spirit if you still have fear. You can't fully serve God like that. You cannot fully serve God like that. So here's the expectation. That's the second point. God doesn't give you high expectations and something else results from that. When he told Noah to go preach, he told him he was going to destroy the world and that Noah had received grace in his eyesight. When he told Isaiah to preach, he said, go preach to them, but they're not going to hear you because I'm going to close their hearts and close their understanding. He told Jeremiah to go preach and they wasn't going to hear you. You see, you can preach to one or two people if the Spirit of God is with you, because your expectation doesn't fall over two or three years. Noah hung in there 120 years with only eight people. He wasn't looking for church growth. See, but a lot of preachers today, a lot of church members have the world in them. They want to go hear the good music. They want to go drive fancy automobiles and wear nice clothes and everything in a social gathering to where they could say that they worship God. They want to look nice. They want to have this. They want to have that. They're full of the world. And that's the kind of people he was sending to Ezekiel to. They're not going to want to hear it. They're not going to want to hear it. And if you're not strong, they'll turn you against the people of God. And that's why he didn't give Ezekiel those expectations that they was going to flog the street. It's kind of like when Cheney, the vice president, was saying that we're going to be greeted as liberators when we go to Iraq. Well, people in this world love to be bound. They're bound to this world. They love this world and the things of this world. They love darkness more than light. And that's God's people I'm talking about. They love the things of this world. They fell in love with Babylon. And God told them, he said, Ezekiel, I'm sending you to obstinate people. The people I'm sending you to, they're not going to want to hear this preacher. The wives could tell the husband, that preacher crazy. I wouldn't follow him. The husband's going to tell the wife, well, I can't go to your church. I won't do this. The children won't go to that church. That's where the division comes in the home, because only the God-sensed will stand where they belong. And that causes a division. But it's going to be people that's fearful that's going to try to make peace in their home and not go stand up on the word of God. But it wasn't going to be so for Ezekiel. Not Ezekiel. It wasn't going to be so. I wonder why he took Ezekiel's wife away. A lot of times God takes your spouse away for a reason or a purpose. If you're not following God, you'll miss that reason or purpose, and you still won't serve God. You'll end up getting another spouse or a wife and getting hooked in that same situation, or a husband or whatever. He took Abigail's husband out of the way because he was hindering her. God moves things. You better get in touch with God and see what God's doing in your life. Are you missing your calling? You putting idols in the midst of your calling or before God? He told him, verse 4, he says, and the children are impotent and hard-hearted. I send you to them, and you shall say to them, thus says the Lord God, and they, whether they will hear you or refuse to hear, for they are a rebellious house, yet shall they know and realize that a prophet has been among them. And you, son of man, be not afraid of them, neither be afraid of their words, though briars and thorns are all around them. In other words, they will be obstinate against you. Even though the false prophet's out there sowing seed, he's sowing it in bad ground. He's sowing it in ground where it's going to come up, and thorns and briars is going to choke the word of God. Don't get into one of those churches. It's going to choke the word of God out of you. You better watch those people, because it's going to be your own household that gets you to run astray. It's going to be your own children, your neighbors. It's going to be those on the job that get you to turn against me, Ezekiel. Don't be like them. Don't be rebellious like them, Ezekiel. He says, for you sit among scorpions. It's deadly. It's not going to be easy. Be not afraid of their words, nor dismayed at their looks. And they go, look, you ever had a spouse to look at you with that pouting look? Or they get mad at you and won't even tell you why they're mad. And you running around there scared to death. They'll get over it. They'll get over it. You tell them what thus saith the Lord. If you can't be God's man, you just want to go it on out and pile potatoes or something. It's best for you to go sell insurance or something else than to sit up in the church and play with God. He says, and you shall speak my words to them, whether they will hear it or whether they refuse to hear it, for they are most rebellious. As for you, son of man, hear what I say to you. Listen at the preaching and teaching. Be not rebellious like that rebellion. Don't be like them. Don't let them cause you to go to murmuring and complaining about me. Don't let them cause you to be able to come tell you gossip on me. You will have to stand up, Ezekiel. You're not a trash dump, and don't let nobody dump any trash on your lot. You don't want to hear the trash talking. You don't want to hear the gossiping and tail bearing. I made you hard against them, Ezekiel. He says, as for you, son of man, open your mouth and eat what I give you. He's giving him good food. He's giving him the word of God. He was giving him God's word. The church is apostate at this time. The church has moved away from the upstanding in God. Israel and Judah had moved away from the upstanding in God. And if you would read the first 24, Brother Dent, you've read that? The first 24 chapters of Ezekiel are chapters of doom. You will have to tell them this is the end of the line for you. You will have to speak what God's words say. It hurts to speak to your children that way. I have to tell them sometimes. It's a lot I have to tell my wife. I have to give up pep talk this morning before she leaves. I give up pep talks every morning. I try to give y'all pep talks. But you know what? If something happens to you, your blood's not on my hand, because I told you what the Lord told me to tell you. Now you can go out of here, leave mad, huffed up and puffed up at me if you want to. You can go back and tell what I said if you want to. But I'm going to be faithful unto God. A servant must be faithful unto his master. If you serving God, be faithful unto God. He say, Ezekiel, don't be rebellious. Don't you be like them. Israel thought they were the people of God. They were callous people. They were hard in rebellion. And he was commissioned and been told that these people was going to be stubborn and like this. So it shouldn't have come as a surprise. He said, I send you, son of man, to the children of Israel, to a rebellious nation that has rebelled against me. They and their fathers have transgressed against me this very day. Some of our parents are dead and gone, and they died in their rebellion. They died in rebellion. Now, I don't know about their salvation, but I can tell you, I've seen rebellion in my parents. If you don't admit that, maybe God hadn't showed you or hadn't talked to you. Because God gives us views of him, and if we would walk in God, he'll cause us to get a glimpse. He'll cause us to get a glimpse of him. He says, I send you to them, and you shall say them, thus says the Lord. You tell them what I tell you to tell them, Ezekiel. But don't be afraid of them. Because they're going to try to stare you down. They're going to try to ignore you. They're going to go to sleep on you. They're going to walk out and not pay attention to a word you say. And then there's going to be some that come in there and want to hear you because it sounds good to them. You know, it was that way in a lot of Baptist church I used to go to. They used to love to go because the preacher got home, they say, that he had the rhythm and it sounded good and it had good homiletics. And they really loved it, all that. But they still, I seen them drinking, cussing, smoking, whoremongering, and lying and cheating, shooting dice, playing cards, doing all these things. That's the way that those churches was. It didn't have an effect in their lives. If this word is not having an effect in your life, you should tarry here in Jerusalem. Don't ask me about an altar call. He was talking about altar calls. No, God should convict you in your heart if you know you're doing wrong. If God starts speaking to you and you see his word tells you this is wrong, harden not your heart. That's why you can't hear. May no use coming falling up on this altar here. God tell you, don't come to the altar. You need to first go get right with your brother. Go get right wherever the problem is. I'm not making an altar call to you and then you go back out and do the same thing. You need to find out where your problem is. If you got something against Brother Dent, you go tell Brother Dent that. If you got something that you got wrong in your life, you need to go back and get that right. You got your conscience is telling you that it's not right. That's the reason you're trying to pray. But it's not going to happen if you hate your brother. So it's no use bringing an offering, a gift at the altar. First, go get right with him because something is convicting you that it ain't right. Make it right. Make that right. But then, as you go on, the execution is the last point we want to talk about. Because if we read this, none of this contained the message. This is the commissioning, a calling of Ezekiel to carry out what God's going to tell him. God tells Ezekiel to carry out this mission by just speaking the word. And you can't speak the word if you don't know the word. That was another argument that he wanted to set forth about God's word. And I say, a lot of people can preach or teach God's word, but there's no spirit of power in it because there's no understanding to it. Because just as he was trying to do, you can't learn it sitting on the steps right there. You can't learn it in 5 minutes. You have to sometimes walk in this way. It's a walk. It's a process. He said, well, don't go way out to North Foster. Let's just start right here. Okay, but see, you won't get the principle behind the rule that I'm setting. The principle is more important. Why did I say what I said? See, to open up your understanding of the scriptures, you have to find out what's causing the problem, or else that problem, me solving the problem, it'll come back again. You know, people ever ask you to loan them money? I had a neighbor, he loaned me every week, normally $20, almost $40. And then I said, well, look, what we're doing is trading money. You're just paying me back the money that you owe me each week. I said, but the cause of your problem is you got too many women. You got too many bills. You got too many other problems. Until you remove that, this cycle will keep on, and somebody is not learning. See, you wouldn't have to keep going through these things. If you are always broke, if you never have anything, and God's word says he wants you to prosper, there's a reason for you being broke. Do you believe that, Brother Dan? There's a reason for the problem. You see, now, you can borrow money. Somebody can loan you money to get you out of the problem. You could, right now, you can get enough money to get a new house or a new truck or a new car. But see, further on down the road next year, somebody will be trying to take that car, that truck away from you because the problem hadn't been removed. You just got enough to what delayed a problem for. See, God wants to clean you up, and the cause of the problem is God may be taking it from you because you're God wrong. You know in his word, see, that's what he didn't understand, and I had to take him back to tithes and offerings. See, because maybe you're spending too much stuff the reason you really ain't happy. There are millionaires that ain't happy. There are millionaires that keep buying stuff. One of the richest groups, singing groups ever alive was the Beatles. Their millions was untold at that time. But one of those Beatles wrote a song, and that song was, "Money cannot buy me love. It cannot buy love." See, because even though you're a billionaire, your wife may be sleeping with somebody that has far less. There are many good men that are working on good jobs, but their wives may be fooling with a loafer because the money can't buy love. It can't buy satisfaction. And see, by you offering money, offering work or hard things to these problems, you've bypassed love. And if you would love your wife as God say love your wife, but you need to follow God. You need to put God first in your life and let him be your head. But what they have done was made that wife or that girlfriend an image, an idol, and put them before God. Thus they lose the wife or the woman because God had showed you that was an idol. You loved it more than you loved me. If you love your husband, your wife, your children, even your own self more than you love God, you have idols in your life, you can't be faithful that way. You have to love the Lord thy God above all else. Even your own life, you have to deny even yourself for God. It requires faithfulness. That may be the reason you're not catching traction in life. And this Christian that's in the church for years and years, never come to anything, never get any respect, that's because they've been living a duplicitous life. They're unstable and double-minded in all their ways, and those people can't receive anything of the Lord. Hard speech. He was going to have to say things. And they was going to resist this because he was going to have to tell them of lamentation, mourning, and woe, as I said. From chapter 1 to 24, it's nothing but doom. It's nothing but gloom and the problem that they were going to have because they were in the world, just like we are in the world, because of rebellion against God. Because of our rebellion against God, the reason we're in the shape we're in. And unless they turn unto God, he's the same one that preached to the dead bones. They were dead in their sins. See, only God's word can quicken you and make you alive. And then sooner or later you get carried away with the world and the things of the world. But in the execution of this, we mustn't allow ourselves to be drugged to their level. See, I told you Jesus was a man. He came as a man and he preached to the people and he was accounted as friends of sinners. I don't mix business with pleasure. But if we get on scripture, I'm going to have to tell you the truth no matter what you want me to do for you. I'm not going to agree with you when you're wrong. And I have to tell you what thus says the Lord. I hit him with some things that hurt. And you could hear him holler for a mile. You could hear him holler for a mile. This is the same one that a week prior to that was laughing at Brother Dent said that me and you crowded it up on him. You see, now he's saying me and Brother Dent's crowding up on him. It don't make no difference with me the way the wind blow. He's Brother Dent's a member of my church. So why would you think he thought in his mind, well, the pastor crowding up on him? But no, the pastor was standing where God told him to stand. So as he, I said, now don't you, I don't know what's wrong with this street. Why are people getting mad at me so fast? But you see, they will get mad. They got mad at Jesus. When Jesus spoke to them, they said, this is a hard saying you saying. Who can receive it? And you know, they thus not walk that way anymore. It was in the book of John. But he had to remain faithful to what he was preaching. He couldn't change it. He couldn't compromise for him no matter how much he loved him. No matter how close he was to him. When his disciples heard this, many of them said, this is a hard and difficult and strange saying. An offensive and unbearable message. Who can stand to hear? Who can be expected to listen at such teaching? But Jesus, knowing within himself that his disciples were complaining and protesting and grumbling about it, said to them, is this a stumbling block and an offense to you? Now see, he knew the people was going to say that. Just like me preaching this message, I know they're not going to beat down the doors to come in here, not hearing this. Not preaching on a Saturday, not saying it's the Sabbath. The scriptures back me up on that. If you go sit in that church tomorrow, let him show you where the scriptures back him up on that day worshiping God. But see, Jesus remained faithful to what was being preached. He wasn't going with what was popular. So he turned to his disciples. See, that's why I'm talking to the church. He says, go in Jerusalem. See, that's the only way you can get powers here in God's word and taking heed to it. And if you would take heed to this word, you'll see power in your life. But you're losing power. I can feel that power ebbing out of you. And it's been ebbing for a time. You're losing power. And he was telling this, does this offend you what I'm saying? Are you starting to kind of inch away from me and go toward them? He says, does this upset and displease and shock and scandalize you? What then will be your reaction if you should see the Son of Man, call himself the Son of Man, ascending to the place which he was before? You think that offend you? You see, when he thought that I was up here. See, that's what hurt him, is when he found that I had things not right on my vehicle. When he found out that I was just like him, just like the next guy down the street struggling. It's hard to make car note and pay insurances on two or three cars, three or four cars. That's a big insurance note per month. That's enough for a car right there. So I have deficiencies, yet I have to keep them up. And it's not easy because it costs me the same thing it costs you when I go in the store to buy something. A gallon of gas costs me the same thing it costs you. Now, God may have helped me some. My son and sons went in together and me and them pitched in and we got a Costco card where we would pay $3.24 a gallon or something. It's a little bit cheaper. I thank God for that benefit. But it's costing us to say, so we all have the same firmness and weakness. We all men. Jesus got tired and had to sleep. So it's a struggle. Peter say, thinking not strange that these things happen unto you, it's happening to your brethren also. It's happening to me. Ain't nothing going on in my life that ain't going on in your life. I have problems at home. I have problems with my children. You will have problems with your spouse. But you have to remain faithful to God in the midst of those problems. So it says, it is the Spirit who giveth life. He is the life giver. The flesh conveys no benefit, whatever. There's no profit in the flesh. So you can try to satisfy those of the flesh. All you're doing is quenching the Spirit. You're ebbing and losing the Spirit, and you grieve the Spirit. See, he was going to show Ezekiel the Spirit lowering his head and leaving Jerusalem. See, the temple hadn't fallen yet. He was preaching to these people for a number of years. He was in the world. He was in Babylon preaching that the temple is about to fall. God's about to punish you. And it's going to be mourning, lamentation. It's going to be death and sickness, just like I'm telling you right now. If your life is a rebellion against God's word today, if you're not living the way God says, it's going to get worse for you than it is right now. It's going to get worse in your family than it is right now. You think you got problems now. You wait till next week. You wait till next month. You wait and see how it looked this year. And you look, the thing that you got hope and confidence in, wait till that come to fruition and watch how it go down the barrel too. And then you will have even less hope than you had before you had hope in that thing that was vanity. The words, truth that I have been speaking to you, that spirit and life. But still, some of you fail to believe and trust and have faith. For Jesus knew from the first who did not believe and had no faith who would betray him and be false to him. See, be under no guise, because I said God tells us before we execute this what the judgments could be. The expectations are who to have hope and trust and confidence in. See, as you go along, have you ever had a friend or somebody that as you go along through the years, you start losing confidence and trust in them because they're not a man of their word. They're not a woman of their word. You see them doing things that's not godly. And see, that's what we have to be. We have to be observant. That's why it says, look out through the church and find some good men to put in these positions. Because if you can't put God first, it's no use putting you in this position, because once the church counting on you to do something, somebody in your family or somebody else might have something else they want you to do, and you can put that before God. As a steward, you have to be faithful. You have to be faithful to God. That's where faithfulness begins. That's where Ezekiel's faithfulness begins. He killed his wife died, and he told him not to mourn. Ezekiel, I want you to go out there and do what I told you to do. When he killed Aaron's two sons for offering up strange fires, he told Moses, go tell Aaron not to show signs of grief or rebellion against me, else I'll get him too. So he had to dispense of any emotions about God just killing him. He had to get someone else to carry his. They said, get your cousins to take your brothers and things out to bury them, because they betrayed God. But don't you flinch. And look at the churches in Revelation, the one God said he's going to fight against them. He says, now I got something word against you. You better straighten up your life before I get you. Some of y'all in here, God got something against you. You better get it straight. You better get it straight or you won't be here. And in the world, you will have torment and trouble, and it's going to be mourning and woe to you. As he did all this, because it was brazen. It was impotent. He told them there was briars and thorns. So Ezekiel had a task among them. But when he left, he says, now they're going to realize a prophet had been among them. When you don't do what I'm telling you the word of God say does. When we speak the word, when things befall you, and you say, well, you know, pastor told me this. Or the preacher told me this. See, it's a little bit late then, because as I told him, I know how to do things, and I told him. I say, well, if they catch me, I'm just going to have to pay the penalty or whatever, because there are consequences for our sins. See, but some consequences of some sins we can't pay for. We like the servant that the Lord had forgave him of all that debt he owed because he couldn't pay that debt. See, but death is a Satan. He's a horrible taskmaster. You're not faithful to Satan. The wages of sin is death. That's how he pays you off. So who are you working for? See, the gift of God is eternal life. How is it a gift? Because you can't earn that. That requires being faithful to you as he calls you, and both of them is a gift. The gift of God is his grace freely given to me. And that's eternal life. He gives us eternal life. All you have to do is be faithful. And listen at his voice. And all you have to do is sit here until you receive power. Don't let nobody move you from where you are. Don't let them move you. He says, you be strong, and I had given you a spirit of fear. You be bold, and you go out there. See, all this is preparations. We're going to tell you about it next week. In the third chapter, we're going to give you a little bit more of what he was preparing him for. See, because he's calling him here, but he tells him it's not good. He did the same thing to Jeremiah. It wasn't going to be a cakewalk. It's not going to be a cakewalk going out here. When you go home, your spouse might stare you down. Your children might stare you down. When you go to work Monday morning, it might stare you down. I was telling my wife, honey, it's going to be rough on your job today. Some of the customers may get in your way. Satan always try to put somebody there to hinder you. You better be wrapped up in God when you go out there. You better be empowered by his spirit. For God had not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love, which money can't buy, and of a sound mind. A sound mind is able to make decisions when all things fall up around you. Because you have the wisdom and knowledge and understanding of God right there to give you peace and joy in the midst of calamity. For God did not give us a spirit of timidity, of cowardice, of craving and cringing and fawning with fear. But he has given us a spirit of power and of love, a calm and well-balanced mind and discipline and self-control. So in conclusion, to this, we say that God being faithful to us and we being faithful to God. 1 Corinthians says, 1 Corinthians, the 4th chapter, 1st to the 2nd verse. It is required of a servant that he be faithful. So let us be a look unto as ministering servants of Christ, stewards of the mysteries of the secret purposes of God. Moreover, it is essentially required of stewards that a man should be found faithful. So we should faithfully give out the bread, the word of God, for others to eat and to glorify God, but also to pronounce his judgments. We shouldn't equivocate about the judgments of God or what's going to happen if we don't follow the words of God. As stewards of God, which he made Ezekiel a prophet. Today, the reason I said stewards, he put us in charge as a calling of whatever ministry he has given us. All of us, it wouldn't be given to speak the word of God as Ezekiel was, as a prophet. We all not called to be pastors. We're not all called to be teachers. But we all must do the work of an evangelist. We must do that on our job, in our home. Because God may be trying to win our spouse and our children to us. But if we don't have a backbone, we can't win them because we're not standing up on the word of God. No means no. Sometimes you have to tell them no. Sometimes you have to allow them to let the chips fall where they may. That's in being a servant of God. And that's what he was telling Ezekiel. Now, they're going to be rebellious and they're going to be contentious. But don't you cave in to them. or you will find your ship sinking also. Don't let someone else cause your ship to sink. You be faithful unto death. That means not until the point of you about to die and says, okay, I give. Notice Fox's Book of Bar, how many Christians died at the stake. So, and to death do we part. None of this should separate us from the love that's in Christ Jesus. So you be faithful all the way. You get your last dying breath, you shouldn't fear man or what he'll do to you. Now when I say man, I mean woman too. Don't be afraid. Don't be scared. Be faithful unto God. That's what he's calling us unto. Heavenly Father, as we come before you this day, Lord God, strengthen us in your word and in your way, Father. Help us to do those things that are pleasing unto you, to lean not to our own understanding, but to look unto you, to the author and the finisher of our faith, Lord God, that we would be strong.